All right, so let's talk about this just for a few minutes. What is the Lord's Supper? I don't know if you mean supper or not yet, but the Lord's Supper is something a little bit different. Before we go to the next slide, let's just kind of do this. I don't know if you've seen this done before in church or different churches. Different churches do this a little bit different ways. Generally, there's wine or grape juice, and then there is some bread or some cracker or something like that. Right. Jeffrey, maybe you need to move to.
Yes.
Right. There's a seat over there. There's a seat in the back. All right. So does everybody sort of know what we're talking about? The Lord's Supper. This is some people call it communion. We'll talk about it in a minute. Now, let's move on. Okay. So. Here's my jumping off point. All right, go to the next slide. This is totally about the Lord's Supper.
No.
Right? Oh, yes.
Right. So, do you have? Here's my question. And I don't want you to shout out a bunch of answers. But think about this. Are there any movies that you just like to watch over and over and over and over again? And get that in your head.
Yes.
Right. Everybody's got some movies that you're just like, oh man, I just want to watch that, and then I want to watch it again, and maybe I'll watch it again. Well, guess what? For me, it is this one right here. And when I was a kid, I watched Star Wars so much that I memorized the entire thing. To this day, I can probably quote every single line from it. And it would take almost 2 hours to do it, but anyway, it's up there. And you know, every time I watched it, I kind of like, you know, found like new little things in there. I don't know if you've seen it, like in your favorite movie, you know, you watch it again, and you're like, oh, I never knew that guy that was standing behind there in the kitchen. I didn't see him before, or this guy over here, or in this case, that alien stuck in the corner. I hadn't seen that one yet, or whatever, or some kind of like weird thing on the wall, or. Somebody says something that you just didn't quite catch before, but now you understood what he said. Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing. This whole story has really kind of like it's kind of embedded itself into my life almost, like my thinking. Like it's like I just sort of understand this the story in kind of a deep way, which is kind of interesting. Which, by the way, be careful which movie is your favorite movie, because it is very powerful. You know, it can sort of affect you a little bit. Hopefully in a good way. All right, now the next slide. This is something else involving a little bit of memorization. All right, somebody's playing the piano. Maybe some of you know how to play an instrument. It takes a little bit of practice. Mrs. Dewberry likes to play the piano, but she's kind of hurt right now and not able to play the piano right now.
What happened?
She's got like a pinched nerve or something. Her arm just really hurts all the time.
Mind
you, she loves to play the piano, and she knows a lot of songs. She doesn't even need music for it anymore. She just sits down and she can do it. And because she's practiced so much, and her fingers just sort of know what to do. Which is pretty cool. This happens in sports too. You can go to the next one. Oh, that's not. Oh, you put the next one. Go back in. Okay, well, yeah. Somewhere in there. We'll probably see it in a minute. Maybe I got it in the wrong spot. It's supposed to be somebody hitting a ball. Anyway, so in sports, you also have this too. They call it muscle memory. Have you ever heard about that?
Yes.
Right, so you just keep working on that baseball swing, and eventually, you don't even have to think about it. You're just swinging in the right spot every time. Or if you're doing like foul shots, or if you're doing free throws, or if you're doing, even if you're running, sometimes it's like your body just sort of knows how to do it, knows the right pace. Right, so your body just sort of memorizes things. Did you know that? Yeah, here's a funny story. My oldest daughter, my oldest daughter Isabel, is probably in the office right there, or maybe she's helping somebody, I don't know. But anyway, she uh, She said she was at her library job the other day, and she forgot her password to get into the computer. So this is how she did it. She just closed her eyes and tapped some stuff out, and it was the right thing.
Wait.
Because her fingers remembered the password. She didn't remember it, but her fingers
did. Your daughter has a job?
Yeah. How old is she?
She's 19. All right, so all that to say... Oh, there she is. All that to say is that there are some things that we do. There are some things that we do, and by practicing them enough, it sort of becomes part of us. And that is part of what the Lord's Supper is about. That's why churches do this. Now, last time we talked about baptism a little bit, and we said last week that baptism is kind of like wearing a jersey on your team or something, like if you're on a part of a team. Baptism is telling everybody, yes, I'm on Jesus' team. I'm on the team here with people at church. That's what being baptized is about. But when you're on a team, what? Oh, that's fine. You don't have to. I'm moving on. That's okay. When you're on a team, you have to do some practicing, right?
Yes.
That's a pretty important part of being on a team, is to practice. And you know what? That's something that we do at church as well. That's the thing we do. We do some practicing here too, and some rehearsing of things. Yeah, let's put that back on. All right, move to the next one. This is a very, very famous picture painted hundreds of years ago. And Jesus probably did not look anything like that, but it's supposed to be a picture of Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. But anyway, famous picture. I'm going to read you. Here's what the Bible says about it. This is what Matthew wrote about it. Let's try to concentrate for a minute. Close your mouth, listen. So, before Jesus was crucified, that last night before he was crucified, he got all his disciples together and they ate a meal together. And this is what it says. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." So he broke some bread and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Eat this up because it is my body."
What?
It goes on. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood. My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now that sounds a little bit strange, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And maybe the disciples thought that was a little bit strange too. Jordan said, "I'm sure." That's what he says. Now, was that bread really part of his body or something? No, it wasn't. It was just bread. But it was sort of like a symbol showing them something. And was the cup of grape juice or wine, was that really his blood in there?
No,
it wasn't. It was just the whatever they were drinking there. And he says this, the last verse. He says, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Girls. So he said, this is going to be the last time that we get to do this together until we have this together in the new kingdom, in my kingdom. So that's pretty serious. All right, now, fast forward, Jesus has been crucified, he rose again, he has ascended back up into heaven, and now, years later, there are churches in different places, they're following Jesus, and the Apostle Paul is going to them, and he is writing to a church in the city of Corinth. And here's what he says to them, because they're still having a little bit of trouble with why you want to do this thing and what it's about. There are a lot of talking. Here's what he said to them. He said, "When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So these people at this church, they were having sort of like a meal, and they were trying to kind of celebrate this thing that Jesus is trying to celebrate and sort of reenact that. But some of the rich people were bringing like their rich food and eating that in front of everybody. And the poor people, they didn't have any food. Was that a good thing for their church to do?
No.
No, it wasn't. That was like, that was the exact opposite of the whole point of what they were trying to do. And then so Paul explains it to them, and here's what he says. He says, I received from the Lord that I also delivered to you, that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So he's explaining to them how they're supposed to do it, what it's supposed to be about. Let's talk about that just for a minute. Number one, the Lord's Supper encourages unity. Why is everybody leaving? You can wait just a few minutes. We'll be done in just a few minutes. We really will be.
Can you shut up?
Now listen, the more you, the better you listen, the less time this will take. So, number one, the Lord's Supper encourages unity. Unity is what, everybody getting along together, doing kind of the same thing, being friends with each other. That is part of what the Lord's Supper is about. So a church is made up of members, people that are members of church, because they've been saved, they've been baptized, they have the jersey on, not a real jersey, but they've been baptized. So now they're supposed to be together, following Jesus together. So you're supposed to have unity, because the Lord's Supper is also called, that's why it's also called communion. That's the same word as like community and things like that. It's something that a church does together. Now here's one thing about the Lord's Supper. If you come to our church on a Sunday night and we have the Lord's Supper, if you're not a member, listen, if you're not a member, you won't be invited to come to take it, because it's only for members. It's something that the church does together. So if you're not a part of our church, then this is not a thing for you yet. Now, if you would like to become part of our church, then you can join with us and be part of that unity that we're trying to create, the Lord's Supper. All right, number two. The Lord's Supper is supposed to remind us about the death of Jesus. It proclaims the death of Jesus. Ashley. It proclaims the death of Jesus. How does it do that? Because Jesus, when he broke the bread, imagine he took a piece of bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, but my body is going to be broken for you. What was going to happen to Jesus in the next few hours from that time was his body was going to be hurt and whipped and torn apart a little bit and bleeding. He was going to be enduring tremendous pain. And he said, I'm going to do that for you. And so every time we have a little piece of that bread, we're supposed to be reminded, wow, Jesus really does love us. He has suffered greatly just for us, even though we were his enemies before that. And yet Jesus loved us. And it also, when we have the cup of juice, it reminds us of Jesus' blood. What happened to Jesus' blood? Jesus' blood was emptied out of his body. It was, because when he was on the cross, to make sure he was dead, they poked him in the side with a spear. And the Bible says that his blood just ran right out of him. They wanted to make sure he was dead. Because those Roman centurions, they didn't want to get in trouble for not killing the people they're supposed to kill. So they did. They made sure he was dead. So he gave up his blood for you, for me. because we're sinners and we need the perfect sacrifice of Jesus to cover our sins. All right, so it's supposed to remind us about that. All right, next, the last point, number three, the Lord's Supper points to the return of Jesus. Now, what in the world does this picture have to do with that? Well, just think about it. Wait, just wait. 2 minutes. The Lord's Supper points to the return of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is inviting people to a wedding feast? Have you ever been to a wedding before?
Yes.
Has anybody ever been to a wedding where there's food?
Yeah. You're
not married?
Not everybody has the best food. So, listen. Now, whatever your experiences might be with that, you can imagine that the kingdom of God can come up with some pretty nice food. And so this will be the biggest party that has ever happened, ever. And you're all invited to it. Now, some people, what they do is they say, I'm not interested. I don't really care about that. That doesn't sound like something I would like. And so maybe they won't be there. But everybody is invited to it.
Yay!
And the best, this is the crazy part. Not only are you invited to it, but if you follow Jesus, you are actually the bride. Sorry, all together. That's kind of a weird thing about. It's sort of like a picture anyway. So, anyway, it's a huge, huge party when Jesus comes back. Because that's what he wants. He loves us, he wants everybody to be together. He wants us to live with him forever. And to have the world that he's always wanted us to have. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. And so... So the Lord's Supper, when we have the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, I'm not going to do this again. Not going to have this again until we're together in the kingdom. Until we're at the big celebration. Until we're at the big feast. But there is going to be one, and Jesus is coming.
Can I come?
You can. You have to be a follower of Jesus. You just have to be willing to give your life to Jesus. That's what you have to do.
I already did.
Well, then, yeah, there you go. So, all right, give me one more slide. All right, this is, by repeating this thing over and over and over again, the reason, one of the things that we do when we repeat this thing over and over again is it's sort of like watching your favorite movie over and over again. We're sort of taking it into us and internalizing this story about the gospel. And hopefully that will help God's love maybe reach out from us to even other people.